Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 11th day of December 2019. I'm thrilled to have a returning guest back in the program who is also a very dear friend of mine. One of the advantages of interviewing a very dear friend, you can relax and not care so much about your professionalism or your lack thereof, but I am always thrilled to have Marcus A. McKnight III, attorney at law, on the program. He is also known as Mike McKnight and Mark McKnight. He has more aliases than a fugitive fleeing justice.
But, sounds like I should turn myself in.
But he is the majority shareholder of the Carlisle, Pennsylvania law firm of Irwin and McKnight, P.C. He is recipient of an undergraduate degree in 1974 from Drew University in Madison, New Jersey, cum laude with specialized honors in economics, and a Juris Doctor in 1977 from the University of Pittsburgh School of Law. He is a member of the Pennsylvania Bar Association and the Cumberland County Bar Association, and an active member in the Carlisle Rotary Club. He's also the past president of both the Cumberland County Bar Association and the Carlisle Rotary Club. He is a member of the West Shore Evangelical Free Church in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, and function speaker for CBMC, which stands for Christian Businessmen's Connection. And today we are going to address the same theme that he will be speaking on at one of those Christian Businessmen Connection meetings this Friday the 13th in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And that theme is Christmas from a Different Perspective, God's Plan to Save Many. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Marcus McKnight.
It's good to be on the radio with a friend.
Yes, it is. And this is the first time you're actually doing it by phone. We had some issues with some equipment in the studio here that has to be rectified, so we have Marcus on the phone this time. We look forward to, hopefully, the next time you return to having you sitting right here in the studio again. But if you could just briefly give a description of the law firm of Irwin and McKnight here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, where you serve as the majority shareholder.
We have three full-time attorneys, myself, Doug Miller, my son Matt McKnight, and we have five legal assistants who help us get our work out. One specializes in real estate, one specializes in estates. Two others help me, Matt and Doug, and Sharon, of course, helps everybody because she's our receptionist and she's been with us a number of years, as have many of our staff. So we're proud to be able to serve the Lord in this way, but not too proud. Not, you know, the Lord humbles us all the time. the law is difficult at times, especially when lives are being high stressed by various issues or problems they face. But we try to be problem solvers. We try to help people deal with each issue from a godly perspective, and we're not perfect, but we try hard, and we pray for our clients. We have to pray for them because we need God's help to do any good thing.
Amen. Well, if anybody wants to investigate the law firm of Irwin and McKnight further, you could go to their website, irwinmcknight.com, and Irwin is spelled IRWINMCKNIGHT.com, irwinmcknight.com. And you can also call them at their local Carlisle, Pennsylvania number. And I have to, because
that's 717-249-2353. At least I know my own phone number.
Well, you prevented me from having to enlarge it because I'm going blind, and when I was looking at the website on my computer screen, I couldn't read it. And I am exaggerating, folks, about going blind, so please don't send in cards or anything like that. Well, you actually amaze me, and I'm not exaggerating, because I don't know if I have ever met or known a Christian in any community that is doing more things in the community in the name of Christ every single week. First of all, how many Bible studies do you lead in Cumberland County or in Carlisle?
Well, I'm not sure I'm the leader of any of them, but I certainly go to the CVMC early morning session at the Hamilton restaurant. That's breakfast time, but we also pray for each other, and we study either God's Word or Operation Timothy, which is the CVMC book in three parts that help people in their Christian walk after they commit themselves to Christ. And also there's a Bible study at Faye's restaurant on Wednesdays at noon, getting it to CBMC group, and we're doing Ephesians. We're wrapping that up. And then Thursday morning, I meet with a number of men from various churches, about a dozen or so, and we swap off leadership and leading, and actually tomorrow I'm going to do a study on an aspect of what we're talking about on Friday, but that is Jesus at age 12 in the temple, and it's looking at it from God's perspective, and I got a different insight when I did that. So that's what I'm going to be doing tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. At Faye's restaurant. Again, we like to eat lunch or breakfast at these various meetings. I'm also part of the men's outreach at West Shore E-Free, and I do lead a small group. And we study usually the sermons from our pastor. And right now we're looking at Christmas at West Shore.
Great. And you also orchestrate every single year an Easter sunrise service. Why don't you tell us about that?
Oh, that is a special opportunity. It's unique. It's probably unique in Pennsylvania. We had an opportunity over 30 years ago. The pastor of Grace Baptist Church, Walt Chantry at the time, agreed to lead the first service up at King's Gap. That's a state facility, a state park, in which we got permission to have a worship service, but we had to provide security and crowd control. And the local fire company, the Penn Township Volunteer Fire Company, led at the time by John Wardle, agreed to have their fire police provide those services at no cost to both the community and to the state. And since then, we've had two pastors leading the services. We don't take any offering. All the donations are private, except that Grace Baptist Church does contribute a significant amount, for which we're grateful. And we've had a number of pastors from various denominations lead a sunrise service at 7 a.m., and many people from the community ride their bikes or bring their horses up or drive their cars up. And we've had all sorts of weather, but it's been a wonderful opportunity. I always wanted to have a mountaintop experience, and each Easter Sunday so far, we've been able to do that since it started again over 30 years ago.
Amen. And also the events that you speak at that are hosted by the Christian Businessmen's Connection, another thing you do in the community frequently. Why don't you tell our listeners about that organization?
Well, it's basically designed to present the gospel to the business community, usually on a small group or one-on-one basis. And it's a nationwide organization, but it's got a significant footprint in central Pennsylvania. And the footprint goes from Lancaster in the east in central Pennsylvania to York, Adams County, and as far west as Chambersburg. It goes as far north as State College. And everywhere in between, in Cumberland County, we have a number of meetings that happen every week. Again, small groups of individuals who get together, and we have people we pray for. We have our own individual top 10 lists of people that we're seeking to either have a closer relationship with the Lord or a brand new relationship with the Lord. And we've seen marvelous things happen. And in our area, we have two workers, Tony Beckett and Dave Waterman. And they are full-time servants of the Lord, helping the various smaller groups in direction and also in prayer. And they travel throughout central Pennsylvania and put a lot of miles on their cars, but they are faithful servants of the Lord. In fact, I had lunch today with Tony Beckett.
And so did I. I was sitting right across from you.
Yes, indeed.
And they are fine men indeed, and always a pleasure to share fellowship with them. And you got to get Tony to come to my pastor's luncheon this January 9th. Dave Waterman has come, I think, to nearly every single one of them, if not everyone. And we'd love to see Tony Beckett there as well.
And although it's four pastors primarily, they let people like me and lawyers and other people in.
Yeah, well, I include men in ministry leadership.
Yes. So it's always a good time, good speakers, and plenty of books.
Oh, yeah. Just to inform our listeners, I'll be repeating this later, but every year, twice a year, I host the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon. We typically have approximately 100 people there, all men in ministry leadership, and we have a guest speaker this January 9th. That's Thursday, January 9th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. We are blessed to have Justin Peters as our keynote speaker. Justin Peters, for those of our listeners who are unaware of him, he is a brother who, having cerebral palsy, has a certain higher level of sensitivity to the disabled community than others might have. And therefore, one of the things he does is he, in addition to the first and foremost thing that has top priority, proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, but second to that, he seeks to expose the charlatans and frauds and heretics in the Word of Faith movement who claim that if your faith is strong enough, you will certainly be healed of any physical ailment. And that has caused quite horrific situations in the lives of many people throughout the world, some of them even including resulting in death because people don't seek medical assistance very often when they are declared to be healed of something. But Justin Peters will be speaking on the subject of protecting the sheep from wolves. It's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Thursday, January 9th at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And if you are a man in ministry leadership, send me an email if you would like to attend. It's free of charge. Everything is free. And as Marcus McKnight just mentioned, Christian book publishers, nearly every major Christian book publisher in the United States and the United Kingdom, donate to me 100 copies each of a title I select from them so that every man in attendance can leave with a copy of that book. So we have hundreds and hundreds of books that we give away for free. Everything is free. The meal is free. Hearing the speaker is free. And this was the brainchild of my precious late wife, Julie, in the 1990s, who said to me one day, knowing of my many friendships in the pastorate since I have worked in Christian radio most of my adult life, she said, "You have more Christian friends, or you have more friends that are pastors than anybody I know. Why don't we, instead of exchanging Christmas gifts every year, why don't we start treating your friends in the ministry to a pastor's luncheon?" And I remember that very first one occurred somewhere in the early 1990s at the Outback Steakhouse in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York. We had about 30 men there, and that has since grown to approximately 100 men. Every year I have continued this event in the memory and in tribute to my precious late wife, who is in eternal glory with Christ. And so this has been going on every year since the early 1990s, and I'm looking forward to this January 9th here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. I'm going to give our listeners our email address if you'd like to join us on the air with a question for Marcus McKnight. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And again, the theme today is Christmas from a different perspective, God's plan to save many. Now, if you could, first of all, explain the title, Christmas from a Different Perspective, highlighting the word different.
There are many people who talk about Christmas in various ways. Hallmark has their ways of doing it. Most people, when they think of Christmas, think of the birth of Christ in a stable with quiet animals around. Usually the shepherds and the wise men show up at the same time. And in the past, I've taken a look at various aspects of the birth of Christ from Mary's perspective, which you can find it in the Gospel of Luke, and Matthew's perspective, which you can find in the Gospel or Joseph's perspective, which you can find in the Gospel of Matthew. But this Friday, we're going to look at Christmas from God's perspective, the birth of Christ from God's perspective. And when I did that, to me, it shed a whole new light on what was going on. And I think there's some very, very interesting aspects that maybe people haven't thought about, or at least thought deeply about. And so when you look at it from God's perspective, everything about it seems to be different from certainly the common view of the birth of Christ.
Especially the view that your average person in the Western world, who is a professing Christian, a nominal Christian, Christian by name only, but really doesn't understand the reason why God became incarnate and was born of a virgin in a manger in Bethlehem. They really don't understand the way those who have been enlightened by the Holy Spirit through the study of the Scriptures understand this, because it is a great act of humility that God underwent for the sake of his people. And most people just view this as some kind of an act of love of God, that they don't really know what that meant. But and they also, I think, unfortunately, and this is a tragedy, people tend to gravitate toward enjoying the concept of a harmless God in the form of an infant, a helpless, fragile infant in a manger, rather than a holy and righteous and wrathful God that will indeed punish people for their sins for eternity that have not been covered by the blood of his son. But anyway.
Well, I've heard those words many times spoken, the humility of Christ becoming a man. But it didn't impact me until I read John again. The source of this talk is going to be the Gospel of John, and then the implications of the Gospel of John on this whole event. So I want to read a couple verses, if I could, from the Gospel of John.
Amen. Go ahead.
Talk about them. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life that was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man in verse 6 sent from God whose name was John. We're talking about John the Baptist. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, and all that might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. And then in verse 14, this is the subject we're going to be dealing with. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him, John the Baptist, and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Now, the amazing thing about this is, John says clearly in his gospel that Jesus Christ, before he was ever a man, created every object in the universe together with the Father and the Holy Spirit. There isn't anything that was made that he wasn't responsible for making. And so in the very beginning of time, Jesus was there, one of the most powerful beings in the universe. Without beginning or end, he was there. And that's the person we're talking about who became a man. And we're going to talk about the aspects of that in a moment. But I just want to tell you that whole concept, when you really put it to the facts that we know from Scripture about the birth of Christ, it wasn't just a small, innocent child, as we often see in the nursery, but this was the creator of the universe, took the form of a man, and first a fetus. And we'll talk about that a little bit, too, because there was reaction between John the Baptist when he was a fetus and Jesus when he was being born by Mary and first met Elizabeth, who was bearing John the Baptist. And it's interesting, probably John the Baptist was conceived first, and then Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit after that. So actually, John was a bit older than Jesus by conception, probably.
Yes, one of the most amazing scenes in the Bible is when you have John the Baptist in the womb of his mother, not yet born, leaping for joy in the presence of his Savior who is in the womb of his own mother, Mary.
And that is, has a lot to say about right to life, but frankly, and the Holy Spirit was on these two women. Again, I want to touch on that as we move forward.
Great. And we do have a listener question. This is an anonymous listener who asks, "There has been some debate even amongst evangelical Christians, although it is very rare among us in the 21st century, whether or not to celebrate Christmas since it is not a holiday or holy day that is mentioned in the scriptures. I was wondering if you feel that it is our duty to enforce a celebration of this day upon those of our brethren that do not celebrate it for their own convictions."
Well, I find any day that you can talk about the birth of Christ is a good day. But quite frankly, the general feeling of people is that at Christmas time they're more open to hearing about Christ than they are at other times of the year. They're so busy, they're so occupied, but especially Christmas and at times even at Easter, people are more open to think about the claims of Christ, especially when you think of his birth.
Well, I would assume, though, the specific question that the listener had was, should we ever seek to enforce, I think probably a more accurate word there would be impose, upon our brethren. A brother or sister in Christ says to you, "It is my personal conviction not to have Christmas trees or Christmas ornaments or celebrate Christmas as a unique day because the Bible does not command it, nor does it even mention it." I assume that you would agree that we should not force or impose. I guess the only person who would be able to force would be a church leader or in a unusual sense if we were to become a theocracy here in America, a political leader, but that's not likely to happen. But you understand what I'm saying. Should we not allow our brethren with different convictions remain with those convictions without making them feel like they are sinning or something like that by ignoring this day? And I understand that it is, I think, an ideal time of year, because even the unbeliever very often is singing songs of praise to Christ, even though this person doesn't believe that Christ is God or even existed. But it is, at least they have their minds in that direction, and it is a valuable time of year to evangelize, I believe. But I think the specific question was imposing this upon others who don't believe it should be a celebrated day in the church.
I don't want to impose anything on anyone, and I wouldn't impose a way of celebrating the birth of Christ on anyone, because they need to feel in their own way. But as I get older, excuse me, I find that the way of celebrating Christmas changes. And the closer I come to the end of my life, the more precious it becomes to me whenever I think of it or get a chance to celebrate it, as is Easter. I like to celebrate Easter on the mountain, but I go to church too. I don't require everyone to come to the mountain to celebrate the wonderful celebration of Jesus rising from the grave, but boy, when you do it, it is special. So there are ways I think that anyone can specially remember Jesus and worship him and celebrate him, and I wouldn't impose any particular way of doing it except to say God's word is a good starting place.
Amen. And of course, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, we read something that I think should be remembered by people on both sides of the question. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. I think that we are being instructed here by the Apostle Paul, if you were to use this or apply this verse to Christmas, that those who do not feel that they are to worship, or should I say, to celebrate this day, we who celebrate it should not judge them, and they at the same time should not be judging us over our freedom and liberty to celebrate this day.
And Paul was speaking to the most diversified church with Jew, Greek, slave, free, all sorts of nationalities. They were a very diverse group he was speaking to. So when he said don't judge one another, I think he knows what he's talking about.
Yes, especially since what he is writing here is God-breathed and inerrant. But we are going to our first break right now. If you have a question for Marcus McKnight, a.k.a. Mike and Mark McKnight, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous. If your question involves a personal and private matter, I assume that our anonymous listener remained that way because he may be in the thick of conflict regarding this very issue. But don't go away. We're going to be right back with Marcus McKnight right after these messages.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
And keep your eye out for the newest or latest full-page, full-color ad for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in World Magazine. It's going to be specifically the December 28th issue of World Magazine. And that is going to have, in addition to their normal print run, they are adding 25,000 additional copies to be printed, specifically to be mailed out to pastors all over the United States. And on top of that, at the upcoming G3 conference, where I'll be manning an exhibitor's booth, God willing, January 16th through the 18th in College Park, Georgia, every single chair that is going to be over 5,000 chairs is going to have waiting for the attendee sitting in that chair a copy of that edition of World Magazine. They're providing one for every single chair, and the G3 conference director has approved of this, so in fact they've never even done this before, where every chair has had something on it for the attendees. So I'm so honored and thrilled that my edition of World Magazine with the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio ad in it will be given out to everybody there. But I'll be giving you more information about the G3 conference coming up shortly. If you've just tuned us in, our guest today is Marcus McKnight III, and we are discussing Christmas from a different perspective, God's plan to save many. And by the way, for any of you post-millennialists or theonomists who are upset with me for saying that a theocracy is not likely to happen in this country, a Christian theocracy, that is, well, let me just add to that, in our lifetime, it's not likely to happen. But anyway, Marcus, if you could, unless you have a different point where you want to pick up, if you could explain something that it may seem insignificant on the surface, but I think I, as a Reformed Christian, I think it has great biblical weight to it. The simple word many in God's plan to save many. The majority of evangelicals today and the majority of professing Christians today believe it was and is God's plan to save every single human being. But as most Christians would admit, other than full-blown universalists who believe everyone, including the devil, will be in heaven, the plan of God, if that was the fact that it was intended for every single person, it would have been and will be an enormous failure on the part of God if that's his plan. But we believe that he came as a ransom. Jesus Christ came as a ransom for many. But if you want to pick up on that.
Well, I wanted to basically start was a point that the birth of Christ was the most carefully, wonderfully planned event in the history of this world. So the point is that it's important that you understand how carefully God planned this event and orchestrated the entire situation in which it had to be important because it's the most important planned event ever. And it begins, actually, at the beginning of the history of man when Adam rebelled against God by disobeying him. The woman, of course, was tempted by the serpent, and she said, well, if I can be smarter than, if I can be like God, why not? And so there were consequences to their choice, and the consequences are found early on, and the description is of the coming of Christ. And you'll find this in chapter 3 of Genesis. When the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate, the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field, and you are, on your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And, this is important, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And that is the first description of a plan that's now being carried out in Genesis chapter 3, and that plan culminates in the birth of Christ, meaning that God himself will become a man, and he will become a man of two parents. And one of the most amazing things is, of course, this came, and the timing of it is amazing, too. I've said before in the past, and I'll repeat it again for this, Jesus came at exactly the right moment he was born. At the time he was born, the Roman Empire was still growing. And so you had one nation from Great Britain to India, and it included southern Europe, the entire Mediterranean region, several millions of people, and there were no borders. There were provinces, but there were no borders that were manned by military folks. People could travel anywhere they wanted to, anytime they wanted to. The Romans were concerned about two things. Quick mobility, so they built a road system, and collecting tax money for the empire. And they wanted prosperity. They wanted more economics to thrive throughout the region. And in that environment, Jesus was born. One nation for that entire region. And so when he became, started his ministry in his 30s, some 30 years after his birth, he had almost an incubator that he could operate in, and the word and the fame of his work spread throughout the Roman Empire, even after his death, for the church wasn't really formed until after he died and was risen and rose from the grave in triumph. So it was the exact perfect time for Jesus to come into the world when the Roman Empire was growing. And the incredible thing is God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit picked his parents. That's the only time that's ever happened that an infant, young person, picked his own parents. And
that's right.
When you look at it from God's perspective, that's the only time it's ever happened. And why is it that Joseph and Mary were picked? Now, people may take issue of that. Where do you get that out of Scripture? Well, first of all, what's the alternative? That this was random? That Mary and Joseph were randomly selected? They could have been... And I don't think God, dealing with his only begotten son, would choose random. The point is that we know it wasn't random because both Mary was from the line of David and Joseph was from the line of David. And David had been promised by God that one of his heirs would sit on the throne, God's throne forever in his kingdom. And Jesus was the one who was in the beginning he then would sit upon the throne. He was, lineage-wise, from David through both these individuals. But the other amazing thing is that God had a dress rehearsal. In Genesis chapter 22, you see the dress rehearsal of the concept that the birth of Christ begins, and that is the sacrifice of Isaac. We know Abraham, the father of many nations, 1,600 years before the birth of Christ, had waited and waited for a son, and finally, when his wife was 100 years old, God gave him the promised one. And we find these words in chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and Abraham said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, who you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains on which I tell you. Now, normally that would be a stopping point for most of us, but Abraham, who was promised by God that he would be the father of many nations through Isaac, said, I'm going. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son, so he had witnesses, two witnesses with him. He cut wood for the burnt offering, rose, and went to the place God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. Abraham says, I'm coming back with this boy after we worship. So he took the wood, and if we go down to verse 9, when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is to this day, on the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided. 1,600 years before the birth of Christ, Abraham does this dry run, this rehearsal of what it was to give up your only son in love because God asked you to do it. And at the last minute, God provided an offering, a ram, that he could do instead of his son. But Hebrews tells us that Abraham believed that even if he had slain his son, God would have raised him from the dead. And that's in Hebrews, in chapter 11 in Hebrews, you see those amazing words about by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was in the act of offering his only son, of whom it is said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So, the concept of an offering, and if it's a human offering, having that offering then being raised from the dead is a dress rehearsal for what Christ was tasked to do, as was mentioned in the very beginning of time, because of the consequence of sin. The only remedy for sin was the act of Christ becoming a man and being sacrificed and then being raised in triumph again from the grave. And that concept is amazing to me. Now, how do we know that Mary and Joseph were specially selected by God? Not only was there their lineage involved, but what else was there about these two that made them special? And the answer is pretty clear. Mary and Joseph had this in common. They believed in a Messiah. They believed that God would send someone to save them from sin and from other issues, and they both shared that in common. Now, where do we see that in Scripture? Well, it's in the response that they make to the word of the angels. we find in Luke, Mary is greeted by an angel, and in verse 20, we see in verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled with this saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." So what does Mary say? Well, what's a Messiah? No, she doesn't. She says, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?"
In fact, can you pick up right where you left off about Mary's question, "How can this be, for I am a virgin?" Because we have to go to our midway break right now.
Okay.
This is our longer than normal break, folks, so please be patient. This is a break that's required of us by the FCC for our friends at Grace Life Radio in Lake City, Florida. They have to, by FCC requirements, localize their programming to Lake City, Florida. So therefore, they ask us to give a longer break in the middle of our show so that they can air their own public service announcements and other things that localize us to Lake City, Florida. While they do that, we air our own commercials that are globally heard. We ask of you, please, to use this time wisely. First of all, write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and more successfully patronize them. That will result in them, meaning our advertisers, being pleased with the fact that they're getting results from their advertising on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, which will typically result in them lasting as our sponsors for a longer period of time. And therefore, subsequently, we will remain on the air for a longer future because of the fact that we rely upon our advertisers to exist. The dollars, the financing that comes through their advertising is crucial. We could not exist otherwise. So please patronize our advertisers as much as you can, and to further ensure you will do that, write down their information. Also, send in questions to Marcus McKnight on the birth of Christ or anything connected to the Christmas story to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. So please don't go away. God willing, we will be right back after these messages from our sponsors with more of Marcus McKnight and our theme of the day, which is Christmas from a different perspective, God's plan to save many. Don't go away. God willing, we are going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors. As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908 908- 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which
so
is a highlight.
Tons of stuff going on,
yeah.
Tons of great speakers, and no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
And now there's even more exciting news. John MacArthur himself is now also on the lineup at the G3 Conference, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020. Go to G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com. See you there.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Oh,
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And remember, folks, please keep in mind solid-ground-books.com for all of your holiday gift shopping needs. Solid Ground Christian Books is owned and operated by a very dear friend, a mutual friend of my guest Marcus McKnight and myself, Mike Gadosh. He was actually my very first pastor after becoming a born-again believer in Christ, and has remained my very dear friend ever since, and mentor, and also has become a key sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I could not exist, barring a miracle from God himself, without the sponsorship of solid-ground-books.com. So keep in mind, every time you purchase a book from solid-ground-books.com, you are helping to further ensure a longer life for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio over the airways. And before we return to our interview with Marcus McKnight on Christmas from a different perspective, God's plan to save many, we just have a couple of announcements to make in regard to special events that are coming up. First of all, an event that we hope you attend if you live locally in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, is the Christian Businessmen's Connection meeting hosted by Marcus McKnight this Friday the 13th, starting at 11:30 a.m., at the Comfort Suites in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, which are located on 10 South Hanover Street in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Marcus will be addressing this very same theme we are discussing today, Christmas from a different perspective, God's plan to save many. If you need more details, you could call the law firm of Irwin and McKnight at 717-249-2353, 717-249-2353. Then coming up on Thursday, January 9th, you heard me mention it earlier, my friend Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries will be my keynote speaker at the next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon. This luncheon will take place, God willing, at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It is absolutely free of charge to any man in ministry leadership, and not only will you be fed for free and hear a wonderful message, I am sure, by Justin Peters for free, but you also get a ton, well, that's an exaggeration, you'll get dozens of free books, a heavy sack of free books, brand new books, personally selected by me from each publisher. Most of the major publishers in the United States donate these books every time I have a pastor's luncheon, which is twice a year. I select a title from each publisher, and they give me 100 copies of that title. So each pastor will leave with dozens of books, brand new books, specifically selected by me for them. This is all free of charge. There's nothing for sale there. There is no ulterior motive. As Marcus McKnight can attest to, this is just a blessed time that was designed by my precious late wife, Julie, intended to just purely and only be a blessing to men in ministry, a time of refreshment, a time of rest, relaxation, fun, fellowship, and feasting. And she made it clear that she never wanted me to have anything for sale at these events or have ulterior motives. If you'd like to be a guest at this free event, Thursday, January 9th, featuring Justin Peters, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line, and I will register you immediately. And once again, it's being held at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Then coming up later on in the month of January, from January 16th through the 18th, at the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta, the next G3 conference is being held, and I am so excited about it, and will be manning an exhibitors booth there once again. This will be my fourth exhibitors booth at the G3 conference. G3 stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. And this January, the theme of the conference will be Worship Matters. Worship is sadly a subject that divides Christians globally. It's perhaps one of the most divisive topics, tragically, in the body of Christ. But it is an important topic, and God definitely has clear guidelines to what he expects from us, the Church of Jesus Christ, in regard to worshiping him. I hope that if you are able to get to College Park, Georgia, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020, you will make plans to be there. I will be there, as I said, manning an exhibitors booth, and I hope you look me up while you're there. The speakers are always, there's always a phenomenal, mind-blowing, long and deep list of speakers, including this January, Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, a dear friend of mine since 1995. Phil Johnson, who has the infamous reputation of being interviewed on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio more than any other guest in the history of this program since we first launched in 2005. Phil is the executive director of John MacArthur's media ministry, Grace to You. Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio, another dear friend of mine, will be speaking there. Derek Thomas, world-renowned Presbyterian author, teacher, conference speaker, pastor. He is going to be there. Dr. Tom Askell will be there, God willing. I don't know how many of you have heard, but this past Sunday, Dr. Tom Askell, who happens to be the executive director of Founders Ministries, the Calvinistic ministry within the Southern Baptist Convention, this past Sunday, Dr. Askell collapsed while preaching and was unconscious. He is currently resting and recovering in the hospital. I still do not have all the details. I'm not even sure all the details are known yet why that occurred. But hopefully, Dr. Askell will be rested enough and recovered enough to be on the roster still in January. So please pray for Dr. Tom Askell. He is the pastor of Grace Baptist Church of Cape Coral, Florida. Dear friend of mine for many years. And please pray that he not only recovers, but is able to speak at the G3 conference. Dr. Stephen J. Nichols, who is president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. Costi Hinn, who is the nephew of the notorious charlatan and heretic Benny Hinn. Costi doesn't mind me saying that because a major part of his ministry is exposing people like his uncle and many others in the Word of Faith movement for the dangerous, deadly, damning, and deceptive frauds that they are. And Costi Hinn is now a Reformed Baptist and a cessationist pastor, just recently called from California to a church in Arizona. And of course, the latest addition to the lineup at the roster, on the roster, is Dr. John MacArthur himself, and there are many others. I would go to this conference, to be perfectly honest, if it was only John MacArthur. He is one of my greatest heroes of the faith, especially amongst those who are still living. And I am so looking forward to hearing and seeing him preach in person. Although I have interviewed Dr. MacArthur on this show, and although he has written a glowing commendation for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I have never met him face to face. So I'm looking forward to that with great anticipation. If you want to join me there Thursday through Saturday, January 16th through the 18th, to the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia for the G3 Conference. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. And I strongly urge you, if you own a business or you lead a parachurch ministry, I would strongly urge you to register for an exhibitor's booth just like the one I will be manning there, because they will have over 5,000 people there. And in fact, they typically have over 5,000 people. With John MacArthur added, I am confident they're going to have over 6,000 people. That's just an educated guess, but obviously it's a very valuable place to be manning an exhibitor's booth. So if you want to attend and if you want to register for an exhibitor's booth, either one or both, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Last but not least, if you love this show and you do not want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing so. You can also mail in a check the old-fashioned way via snail mail to the address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. I want to thank all of you who have been doing that, especially those who have been doing it every month. I want to thank my guest, Marcus McKnight, has been a faithful financial supporter of this program. If you have never given before, or if you haven't given for a long time, please consider giving before Christmas. We really need your donations before the end of the month, especially because we have bills we have not yet paid that need to be paid. And we just plead with you, if you love the show and you don't want it to go away, please give. And I have this caveat for you every day. Never siphon money away from your local church. In other words, never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. And never put your family in financial jeopardy in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those are two commands of God. And supporting my show financially is not obviously a command of God. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, please be as generous as you can and give as frequently as you can to ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. If you want to advertise with us, we sure could use your advertising dollars. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. As long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what I believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but as long as what you're promoting is compatible with what I believe, we will surely help you launch an ad campaign immediately. And if you are not looking, or should, let me rephrase this. If you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, and you're not even prayerfully looking for one, you are living in rebellion against God. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and if you need help finding a church and get right with God in this area, this is a sin if you are neglecting joining a Bible-believing church in your area. Please let me help you if you cannot do so on your own. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. I've helped many people the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience find churches where they have either joined or where they have visited when they are on vacation, or where they have recommended to their family, friends, and loved ones without churches all over the world. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Marcus McKnight on our subject at hand today. The broader subject would be the birth of Christ or the Christmas story, and more specifically, Christmas from a different perspective, God's plan to save many. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as you may recall, Marcus, you left off at Luke chapter 1, verse 34, when Mary proclaims to the angel in regard to his declaration that she is going to bear a child. How can this be, since I am a virgin? And if you want to pick up right where you left off there.
Well, the angel then answered her in verse 35, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is in the sixth month with her, who's called barren. For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." and the angel departed from her. Now, my point is, Mary had to know about a Messiah coming. So she doesn't ask a lot of questions about what's a Messiah, why is he coming, why. She says, technically, I'm a virgin. How is the Holy Spirit to create this child within me? And the angel says, it'll be done. You have to believe us. It'll be done in a safe and relative way. And this child will be holy. It will be God's son. And she says, let it be according to your word. She says, I'll do it. I'll be the mother of the Son of God. And that's the key thing you have to understand. Mary believed God's word, and she stuck with that belief her entire life. Even when her son was crucified on the cross, she kept her faith. And when he was raised from the grave, she rejoiced, as did all those who loved the Lord at that time. I want to point out to you, I said this is the most planned event in the history of man up to this point, and the proof is, on Mount Moriah that we talked about briefly beforehand, that's the same place that King David said to his son Solomon, build the temple here. And Solomon built a temple there. It was destroyed by the Babylonians, but rebuilt again under great strife, but rebuilt. And in 20 B.C., Herod the Great, the same Herod who would be dealing with Jesus' birth, Herod the Great renovated the temple to the joy of the Pharisees, and it was that temple that Jesus was dedicated at. It was that temple that at age 12 he sat and discussed important things with the Pharisees and scribes, and of course he had firsthand knowledge of heaven because he came from heaven. And it's the same temple in which he ministered at age 30, did many miracles and debated with the Pharisees and won his points. So the point is, God's word is very intertwined. That's what I love as a lawyer. It supports each other. And the point is that Mary didn't, she knew about the Messiah. Many did in that age because they were being heavily taxed by the Romans. They were looking for the Messiah. Even the woman at the well, a Samaritan woman, north in the Galilee region, or through Samaria to get to Galilee, she said, we expect a Messiah's coming, and Jesus at the well said, I am he, I am God's son, and he transformed that town. And the same thing applies, of course, to Joseph. Joseph, and you see Mary's problem, Mary couldn't stay in the town she was living in and be pregnant when she hadn't been living with her husband, her betrothed husband, Joseph. But Mary was given Elizabeth, and that's where she went and rejoiced when she greeted Elizabeth. And that's where you see in verses 35, 39 through 45, Mary goes, it says, in haste into the hill country in the town of Judea and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth, and that's where the fetus seems to greet each other. John's fetus greeted Jesus as he entered the room in Mary's womb, and that's pretty incredible when you think that happened. The planning that God put into this entire scenario is incredible. And of course, then you can look at Joseph in Matthew, in verse 18 of chapter 1, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit, and her husband Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, or have her stoned, by the way, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken to the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, here's the intricate planning of all this from a legal point of view. Legally, Jesus was the son of Joseph. That meant he was not illegitimate. He had a name. He had the lineage of David. He could go into the temple and speak or teach. He could go into any synagogue and teach from God's word when he began his ministry, because he's considered legally Joseph's son. But both Joseph and Mary knew he was also God's son. That's pretty incredible that they understood that. And Joseph said, I will raise your son, God. I will raise him. I will do whatever you tell me to do to raise your son. And he listened carefully to every word that God spoke to him. So when it was time to go to Bethlehem, off he went with a very pregnant Mary to Bethlehem. And off Mary went, being very pregnant, to Bethlehem, believing in faith that God would keep his word to both of them. And when he arrived in Bethlehem, of course, there was no room at the inn, so he went to a stable. And you would think, well, couldn't have God planned reservations better in Bethlehem? But the reality is that God was going to give a special message to those who he chose to give it to, and that is shepherds. Just as David was a shepherd originally, he sent one angel who scared the daylights out of the shepherds, and then said, unto you a Savior is born, and he'll be in a stable. And that's how you'll know that this is planned by God. And then a host of angels, the same host of angels that Jesus led in the Old Testament, the same host of angels that will join him when the second coming comes. Jesus led a host of angels. He was the most powerful being on the planet, in the universe, leading these powerful angels, and they came to rejoice that Jesus had become a man and had been born after being a fetus, and gave that announcement to the shepherds. And guess what? When the angel said, go see this child, for unto you has been born a Savior, they went. All of them went. I don't know if they took the sheep with them or not, but they went, and they saw this newborn child in a stable, just as the angels had said. And the amazing thing is then Jesus stayed in Bethlehem 2 years. Why did Joseph stay in Bethlehem 2 years? How did he support himself in Bethlehem when he couldn't even get a room in an inn and knew no one, especially in that town? And the answer is, of course, God's planning. Do you think the shepherds just went to see the child being a newborn? I think those shepherds had a relationship that was forged at that moment for the entire 2 years that Joseph was in Bethlehem. What are shepherds going to do if they need work done, if they need something improved, if they need something built? They go to the stepfather of God's son, and they'd have a relationship with him, and that's how he maintained his living with Mary in Bethlehem. They dedicated the child in the temple. They used doves instead of a lamb to be sacrificed because that's all they could afford. They weren't living... They lived humbly in Bethlehem. And 2 years later, the amazing planning again of God is shown, because an entourage of wise men, I don't think there were three, I think there were more than three, but they came in an entourage so large that Herod the king, Herod the Great, in Bethlehem, or in Jerusalem, 5 miles from Bethlehem, took notice of them, called them in, asked them what they were doing, and they said, 2 years ago, a star was in the heavens, and that marked the birth of a child, the Messiah. And, of course, Herod was very alarmed, and he asked the high priest and the scribes, where is this child to be born? They said, 5 miles down the road in Bethlehem. And so, guess what? Off went the wise men, and they set out long before they knew where they were going. They followed the star, ended up in Jerusalem, and then were directed by Herod to the birthplace of Jesus in Bethlehem. And they arrived, and they gave Joseph gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which he couldn't use in Bethlehem in his workshop. But Herod had secretly decided that he would put an end to this child, and so he asked the wise men to come back in and tell him, which house is he in? Where is he at? And instead, God warns the wise men not to return and deal with Herod. And it shows you again, God knows the thoughts of every one of us the moment we think them. Psalm 139 says that before we think a thought, God knows it. That's how much in tune he is with even the secret evil thoughts of Herod. So he tells Joseph, you must leave immediately because Herod seeks to kill the child. So God knows Herod's secret thoughts. And although it's a conspiracy unto Herod himself, he sends down his troops to kill all the two-year-olds, and in triumph then says to himself, I've won. I've killed all the two-year-olds. The Messiah has been expunged. I have no threat from this so-called Messiah. Meanwhile, Joseph has taken Mary and a two-year-old who could travel better to Egypt, and he uses the gold, frankincense, and myrrh to support himself while he's in Egypt until Herod has died and he decides it's safe to return. He doesn't return to Bethlehem, then he returns to Nazareth where Jesus is raised. I think the whole scenario is amazing and how God put it all together and maintained it. It's just fantastic when you consider the planning of it. Herod thought he won, and so the child was considered safe. The next time we see Jesus, he's 12 years old. And this is something I had never thought of before I looked at it from God's perspective. When he was 12 years old, his parents had celebrated by taking the entire family along with their friends up to Jerusalem once a year. When he does that, he then sees in, and this is found in Luke.
It's so refreshing to hear the pages of a Bible rustling because of this day and age of electronic equipment. You have a lot of people not doing that anymore.
Well, I find it's much quicker to turn the pages than to scan through the various chapters on my electronic device. I have it if I need it, but it is nice that way. And so in verse 41 of chapter 2 of Luke, you find this amazing event. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among the relatives and acquaintances, and when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Well, because Jesus had firsthand knowledge of heaven and all these things. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. Now, I've always been bothered by that, because certainly Jesus knew the distress they were under. But Jesus said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? They did not understand the thing that he spoke to them, but he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them, and his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Until I looked at it from God's perspective, here's what was going on. When they found him in the temple, speaking with the scribes and the Pharisees and teaching them and listening to them. And they said, why did you do this to us? Why didn't you tell us where you were? We were frightened because we knew that people were trying to kill you and search for you. Why would you do this to us? And he said to them, I am in my Father's house. Meaning, I am God. I got this. No one is going to harm me or touch me or do anything to persuade me for my future. I'm God. folks, don't worry about me anymore. I'm God. I'm in my Father's house. I got this. You don't have to worry anymore. I'm 12 years old. I'm God.
The only time in history that such language would not be considered disrespectful coming from a 12-year-old to his parents.
But then he submitted to them, and he lived in Nazareth with them, grew in stature, but he wasn't God until his ministry began. And then he expended his God powers with great effect throughout the region. He became the most famous man. On the day he was arrested, he was the most famous man, the most revered man, the greatest man in the region for all that he had done. And he healed the blind who had been blind from birth. He healed those with leprosy. He healed those with heart problems. He dealt with mental health issues and people possessed by evil spirits and drove out the spirits. He did amazing things, and people throughout the region. But the Pharisees, who had not come to his birth, they knew where he was being born. They never came to his birth. Herod, who sent his men to kill all the two-year-olds when he found out that the child had been born in Bethlehem 2 years ago, thought he had won the whole issue. But indeed, he had not won, because God read his mind, of course. And Jesus was reading the mind of the enemies throughout his ministry. And this most powerful being, when he was being arrested, said to his disciples, "You know, I command 12 legions of angels. All I have to do is ask God to send them, and this would all be over." But his mission was to die on the cross, to be the sin bearer of all our sins, and to be raised again in triumph over death. And that's how he bruised the head of the serpent, or crushed the evil one's plan to destroy all of mankind. Indeed, but he said clearly by his death and resurrection, the only way to God is through me and believing in faith in me. And that is the most amazing thing about this whole concept. It was there in the beginning, in the garden, when God spoke it in judgment of the serpent. It was there when Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac, believing that God would raise him from the dead. It was there in Bethlehem when Joseph said, the moment he was spoken to by the angel in a dream, saying, "Take your son and Mary and go to Egypt." That was not normally on his itinerary. There were no trips. I don't think Viking cruises went up the Nile at that point. So off they went on foot, but a two-year-old was easier to take on foot than a newborn. Again, it was all God's planning. And the gifts the wise men had given them, they could use to preserve their lives and live in Egypt until it was safe to return. And they returned, and he was Joseph's son until his ministry began. But he was God's son in the temple. He was God's son when his ministry began. He was God's son when he was crucified, and he was God's son when he was raised from the grave. And then when he ascended to heaven, the church began by the Holy Spirit. What a plan of salvation that was there in the beginning, and how God superintended every event in a way that caused men to be amazed. In an incredible turn of events, when we find that Saul, before he became Paul, was on his way to imprison believers in Christ in Damascus, Jesus from heaven spoke to him and said, "Paul," or "Saul, why are you doing this?"
In fact, can we pick up right where you left off there? We have to go to our final break right now.
Okay.
This will be much more brief than the last break, and if you have a question, send it in quickly before we run out of time. And Grady from Asheboro, North Carolina, please be patient. We will ask your question immediately upon our return from the break, and then we'll have Marcus pick up where we have Saul on the road to Damascus, and Jesus from the heavens shouts out, "Why do you persecute me? Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy, and currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and my friend Chris Arnson and I are excited to be attending another G3 conference together in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, on a theme that is vitally important to all of us, Worship Matters. I'll be on the speaking lineup with Eric Thomas, Joel Beakey, Paul Washer, Steve Lawson, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, Vodi Balcom, and the world-renowned preacher, teacher, and author John MacArthur. A fascinating new addition to the roster is Costi Hinn, nephew of the notorious false teacher Benny Hinn. Costi has repented of the word faith heresies of his youth and is now a Reformed Baptist pastor and cessationist in California. Come join me and Chris Arnson at G3 2020, January 16th through the 18th in Atlanta by registering at g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia. and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Pasolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Clint Leiter of Highway M Chapel, Sedalia, Missouri, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled, Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy, and currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231, and you can only reach them on that phone line Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And I know that my guest, Marcus McKnight, shops there frequently and just recently purchased some new books. John MacArthur's exposition of the Book of Philippians for our Faye's Country Kitchen Bible study. Am I not correct, Marcus?
They'll be in soon, they tell me. So,
Great. Great. And before we go to where Marcus left off, we just want to make sure we get a question from Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina. We give him VIP treatment because not only is he a very frequent faithful, loyal listener with questions nearly coming in every single day, but he is also a very generous supporter financially of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Of course, we will treat him with the VIP treatment until he stops coughing up the bucks. Okay. But Grady says, great show, Brother Chris. I'm currently reading Sinclair Ferguson's book, Child in a Major. Manger. Has Mike read this? Dr. Ferguson does an excellent job with the incarnation from Matthew, John, and even the passage in Philippians where our Lord lowered himself by coming to earth. I highly recommend it. By the way, Chris, I got my copy at CVBBS. Oh, another plug for CVBBS. Have you read this book? I'm sure that you know who our dear brother Sinclair Ferguson is, because you could not be a card-carrying Calvinist if you did not know.
I've heard him speak. He's one of the best. I now have another Christmas gift for myself.
Great. Well, it is published by Banner of Truth, by the way, and you could get it at cvbbs.com. And by the way, Banner of Truth lovers, if you love Banner of Truth and if you go to the conferences that they orchestrate, you probably know Jeff Kingswood, a pastor in Woodstock, Ontario, Canada. He's going to be my speaker once again this Monday, December 16th, on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, so mark your calendars. Okay, you can pick up where you left off, brother.
Well, I just want to point out that we all need to believe God's word, as did Abraham, Joseph, and Mary, and act upon it. We have to realize there's a standard, and the standard is found in Matthew 22:34, a lawyer challenged Jesus by saying, "Which one of the Ten Commandments is best? Choose one so I can tell people that you've trashed the other nine." And Jesus responded with a standard that we're all going to be judged by. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the law and the prophets." Now here's the problem for all of us, and we share this problem. God says the standard is simple. Always put him first. Never be selfish. Treat others better or equal with yourself. And we all fail at that every day, every week, in every way. And here we find Saul on the road to Damascus persecuting Christians who believe Jesus is in heaven and is God's son. And from heaven, Jesus says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul says, "Who are you, Lord?" And he says, "I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Rise and enter the city. You'll be told what you're to do." Now, Saul is blind. He goes into the city. He expects to be killed, and because he's violated God's law. He's persecuted and killed people who believe Jesus is God's son and Jesus is in heaven. And now he knows all that's true. What's his fate? And his fate is given to Ananias, who then heals him of his blindness. He says, "Go, for he is my chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel, for I must show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." And from that point on, Saul becomes Paul, the architect of spreading God's word throughout the Roman world. And here's the point for us. Jesus is going to be our judge. How do we know? It says all men must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And the issue will be a simple one. Have we put our faith in him? Do we know him? Do we believe he's God's son? Do we believe he saved us from our sins? And the whole point of all this is that Jesus, who became man, became that infant, suffered on the cross, rose from the grave. He's the same Jesus who we'll enjoy eternity with if we put our faith in him. Otherwise, we'll all die of our sins. We need the same Savior that Saul, who became Paul, needed, the same Savior promised to the shepherds, to Mary, to Joseph, and in that wonderfully planned event was born in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago for our sakes. And like the shepherds, we share in the same message. Jesus came to save us from our sins. Unto us was born a Savior. And we need to live and understand it. And that's why I give testimony to it. That's why I'm doing the outreach on Friday. Because people who haven't thought this deeply about it need to know that Jesus died for our sins, and we have many that we need punishment for, except Jesus took our place and suffered on the cross for our sakes. The amazing thing about Jesus on the cross is this most powerful man stayed on the cross until it was finished, until our sins were forgiven.
And we're out of time, brother, and I want to repeat your website, irwinmcknight.com, IRWINMCKNIGHT.com, IrwinMcKnight.com. And of course, if you folks want to find out more about the Christian Businessmen's Connection, especially the branch that Marcus McKnight is a member of, go to centralpa.cbmc.com. That's Central PA for Pennsylvania. .cbmc.com. Thank you so much, Marcus, for being a wonderful guest once again. I look forward to your return. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write in questions. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, brother.